Well, I thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me, and this is based on my favorite verse, Philippians 1:6.
He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. If the struggle you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are his treasure, and he finds his pleasure in you. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. In you.
Glorious truth. This morning, it is found in various places in the scripture. Let us turn to the 31st chapter of Job. Job 31. And let us begin reading with verse 35. Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cry against me, or that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockles instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. I want to speak this morning on the empty heart. That comes from verse 40. The words of Job are ended. Jesus said it this way: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As we go through this book of Job, you will find that there are many things that were in the heart of Job. Jesus spoke of that scripture there in Luke 6:45, that there was going to be good treasure in the heart as well as evil treasure in the heart, and both of them are going to come out the mouth. And Job experienced that. We find out that this man, this book rather, is composed of much dialogue between Job and his comforters. There are so many wonderful and glorious things that Job spoke, even in his misery. There are some other things that Job spoke that are not so good. They are more, as we would say, of an evil treasure. We are well aware of that. We understand that because, you see, we know, according to the Scripture, that all of us are possessed of two natures. And those two natures are battling back and forth one against another, even as we find there in Romans 7. Job ran into that, and especially these last three chapters, from 29 to 31, Job is very much self-centered. We see some self-righteousness in him. We see him in some places even blaming God. We see regret of him. We see him justifying himself, even as we do here in these last couple of verses in verse 38. If the land cry against me, that pearls likewise thereof complain. If I've eaten the fruits thereof without money, if I've done things wrong, let them come forth and say so. I want to see here that God let Job empty out his heart. The words of Job are ended. I'm done, says Job. We really saw this same pattern last week as Jesus was speaking to those on the road to Emmaus. You remember he joined them and then he just let them talk for a while, telling them all about the things that had happened. But it seems when they had come to the end that Jesus then sat unto them and began to speak. That's the same thing we see here in the book of Job. Once the words of Job are ended, God had another preacher come on the scene. But we do not find Job answering him. Elihu was he's a glorious preacher. After that, it was God himself who took up the banner. And he began to speak. He began to talk concerning Job. And again, with all the questions that God asked, we find that Job was silent. Anytime he did break in, he would simply say, I'm vile, I'll lay my hand on my mouth. His heart was empty. But this is the key. The empty heart is a good thing. I want to contrast just a moment the full heart. Because the full heart speaks of self-sufficiency. Like Job, it tells us his eyes were somewhat upon himself at this time. When Jesus spoke to the church at Laodicea, then he said, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And you see, when that happens, we don't realize anything else. When a person is full of himself, he has need of nothing. He doesn't realize that he's poor and miserable and wretched and blind and naked. Mary gives us this same message in Luke 1:53. He hath filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent empty away. That is a pattern. That is a principle that we find in Scripture. Paul wrote the same message to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:8. He said, now you are full. He didn't mean that as a compliment. You are full. You are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And you see, that's what happens when people are so full of themselves, when they are rich, when they have need of nothing. They do not need Paul's message. That's what he means here when he says, you've reigned without us. You've not adhered to the gospel, to the message that we have preached unto you. Then there's Naomi. You'll find her story beginning in the first chapter of Ruth. And she had gone back to the land of Israel. That's after she lost her husband. She lost her two sons. And now she has gone home back to Israel with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And she said, I went out full. And the Lord has brought me home again empty. And this is a great key for our lives. The Lord brought me home again empty. The Lord had to empty me out in order to bring me back. Now that was a, as she described it, a very bitter experience. But what we must understand here is that when God brought her home again empty, He didn't intend for her to stay that way. And indeed, she did not. If you look at the sequel to that story, Ruth was married to Boaz. She had a little son. And those women said to Naomi, why, this daughter-in-law is better than seven sons. She's given you this little child. Naomi became nurse unto it. Had a powerful impact on that child, I'm quite sure. And it was Obed who was the grandfather of David, firmly instated in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a purpose when He empties us out. It's so that He can fill us up. As long as we are full, God can't add anything else. And so we find out it is a wonderful thing when we are empty. When we, like Job, come to the place where the words of Job are ended. I want to turn to another, a beautiful illustration of this emptiness. Let's go to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. 2 Kings 4. This is the ministry of Elisha. And he has some words for a woman who is in dire straits. She owes an impossible debt. And so she is instructed here in verse 3. He said to her, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, but you will notice they had to be empty vessels. Borrow not a few. The more of an empty vessel that we can bring, the better off that we are. And in verse 4, when you're come in, you shall shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Again, God cannot fill a vessel that is not empty. And this is such a beautiful, present such wonderful instruction for those who would desire to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, because this oil is symbolic of the power of the Spirit. But this is exactly what God has to have. Over the years, we have seen those wanting to be filled with the Spirit, and we really have seen some who did come full of themselves. They didn't really realize that. They didn't understand that. But some come full of prayer, just crying and pleading. I've heard others that seemed like they wanted to bargain with God. And because I've done this, oh Lord, you need to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, and we've seen it again and again, God lets their words come to an end. He just empties them out, lets them exhaust themselves, until finally all they do is just begin to praise God. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. They were in the temple praising and blessing God. That's what should fill our hearts. Nothing else. Some people, and it just grieves me, come and try to tell God how bad they are. He doesn't need to know that. He already does. He don't have to tell Him about it. Just come as an empty vessel and let God do the rest. Now, the beauty of this is that this emptiness and this pattern goes far beyond the initial filling of the power of the Holy Ghost. This is something that we can use in our lives, and we have used it in our lives time and time again in verse 4. When thou art come in, shut the door. God does this in so many different ways. We think through the Scripture of the different situations that God has brought people to in order to isolate them unto Himself. Saul of Tarsus, he knocked down on the road to Damascus in order to pour him out and then fill him up with the power of the Holy Ghost, and of course then with the Word of God. There are no ends. There are no limits to the and no end of the resources that God has in order to bring us to a place of emptiness and a place alone with Him. That's ultimately what happened with Job. The words of Job are ended. Then, as we said, God used Elihu as a marvelous preacher. But in the end, it was just Job and God. That's the same thing happens in our experience as God brings us unto Himself and we are empty enough in order to let Him fill us back the way that indeed He wants to do. And so God takes over that training, and indeed we learn simply to listen unto Him. And so as we find here, shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And then she took and she would sell what she needed in order to get the desire to pay that debt. The idea, once again, as I said before, is not to remain empty. That really is a horrible state, and God doesn't leave. God never leaves a void. Psalm 103 says it this way, He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And the little word satisfied means you're full. When you're satisfied, you're full. This is what God wants to do, and it is God who is doing it. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Once again, Luke 1:53, this is Mary after she was chosen. She knew she was chosen to be the earthly mother of Jesus. And she said, He hath filled the hungry. It indicates the emptiness and the need, the void that is there that we are expecting and believing God to fill. He has filled the hungry with good things. I want to see today that those good things are not just generic things. It is not just a general word to fill up space, so to speak. The Apostle Peter does a masterful job in defining these things. Let us go to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter 1. Verse 8, Peter says, If these things be in you and abound. When you're abounding, it means you are full. He shall satisfy your mouth with good things. He filleth the mouth of the hungry. It is these things that I want to see, because Peter is not making an idle statement here. These things are beautifully defined. We're not going to tabulate them, number them 1, 2, 3, 4, but you can count them out yourself and go over these things beginning with verse 2. What are the things that Peter is talking about here in which we are to abound? And we come to find out that they indeed tell us of specific traits, and spiritual blessings. They are riches. They tell us of those things that God wants to mold into our character. He would have us filled with them. And so back up to verse 2, where Peter begins to define these things. The first one is grace. And of course, it is to be filled with grace, even as Jesus was full of grace and truth. We are to be filled. We are to abound with peace be multiplied unto you. And of course, that's not just that peaceful feeling that we get sometimes, but that's the very peace of God that rules and reigns in our hearts. God wants to have that in our own experience. We are to be filled up with such peace of God in our own experience. And you will notice further, through the knowledge of God, this is a constant work in our lives, that we might come to know Him in His fullness. As Paul says there in Philippians 3, that I might know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings, the power of His resurrection. So many wonderful ways to know Him, a part of these things in which we are to abound, as Peter tells us. Notice further in verse 3, according as His divine power. We begin to understand the power of God when we are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. But that's not the end of it. There is much more power we experience in our lives as we learn of Him. And He begins to fill us with that very resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. According as His divine power is given unto us all things. Again, all things. And Peter proceeds to list a few more of them that pertain unto life and godliness, again through the knowledge of Him that has called us. Wherefore, in verse 4, or whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. All of those marvelous promises of the Scripture down through the ages that God has given unto us, we are to be filled with the might and the power and the provision of them, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, filled with the divine nature of Christ rather than that old nature that we had when we were born. This is what God wants to do. He would empty us out in order that we be filled up and abound in these things. And verse 5, beside this, here's some more things, Peter says. He begins to specifically define them. Beside this, giving all diligence. And he means exactly that. He says this is not to be an afterthought. It's not to be a convenience. It is to be something that you do on purpose, diligently, that you give your time and your effort to. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That would be one of the things. Virtue, that would be one of the things. To virtue, you add knowledge. That's another of these glorious things. To knowledge, temperance. I'd like to speak just a little bit, enlarge a little bit on the word temperance. It means self-control. But you see, it's not the self that men think of. The self we're talking about here is the self that we learn, the new I, when I find out I am in Christ Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I, that is self, live. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And so self, this temperance is not self-effort. This temperance is making sure we know who we are in Christ. Who am I? We must understand that. This is the self that he's talking about. And this would be the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. To temperance you add patience. To patience you add godliness. To godliness you add brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness it graduates to divine love, charity. And then he concludes in verse 8, if these things be in you. He wants all of these things to fill us up. And so as Job came to the end of himself, as his words were ended, he gave God ample opportunity to fill him up with these wonderful things that we find here. If these things be in you and abound. Abounding means that we are actually filled up. We are consumed with these things. We are satisfied with these. As we read there in Luke 1:53, satisfies thy, or Psalm 103, satisfies your mouth with good things and fills the hungry. If you do this, ye shall, if these things be in you, verse 8, and abound, they make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what it's all about, a full, a complete knowledge of Christ himself. And so the question for us today, are we willing to be emptied out in order that he might fill us up, that we might abound in all of these things? And I hope before you answer that question, sincerely hope that we all answer in the affirmative. But let us understand that just like we saw in Job, and just like we saw in Naomi, that emptying out can be a very painful experience. The only thing is, we must keep our eye on being filled up, because one day I will guarantee you on the authority of God's word, we will know that it has been worth it to be emptied out in order that he might fill us again.